ان الحمد لله والصلاه والسلام على اشرف الانبياء وعلى اله واصحابه ومن والاه وبعد my dear brothers I remind myself and you of the importance of living Islam we live in a world today where there are many people who talk about and who say that they are ready to die for Islam. I'm talking about those who say they are ready to die for Islam, not talking about those whose lands and whose homes and whose families are being attacked by enemies and they are fighting and they are actually dying. I'm not talking about that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relieve the oppression that those people are under. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them victory. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save them from their enemies, inshallah, and give them shahada when they die. I'm talking about those who talk about and who say that we are ready to die for Islam. And I remind myself and you that what Islam needs today is people to live for Islam. Not so much die for Islam, live for Islam. And when we say live for Islam, we mean live by Islam. Not by some other standard and then say we are Muslims. Because to live on a daily basis, day after day, hour after hour, as Muslims, is not easy. Especially in today's world, it is very, very difficult. To talk about dying for Islam is very easy, because talk is always easy. And wallahu alam, may Allah protect us from all kinds of tests. Not everybody is going to even get a chance to die for Islam. But what we all have a chance to do while we are alive is to live for Islam. Now, live for Islam means what? Of course, it means our worship, our ibadat, and to do them to a level of excellence. And that itself takes effort. To live for Islam means to improve the quality of my salah to such an extent that when I stand in salah, I stand with the awareness that I am standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am praying as if I can see Allah. And if I do not see Allah, I know that Allah is seeing me. Now, this will not happen overnight. It did not happen overnight even to the best of them. So, it's not going to happen overnight to you and me. This means waking up for tahajjud every day. It means making effort during that tahajjud to try to concentrate and to try to build that concentration and dedication in salah, khushu and khudu and salah in such a way that we reach that stage of ihsan. It means that in the rest of our lives that we practice Islam in such a way that somebody looking at us can see the reflection of Islam in our lives. And what is the reflection of Islam? The reflection of Islam is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So people should be able to see the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in all aspects of our lives. How we deal with people, how we talk to people, how we are with our families, how we are in our businesses, in our employment and so on, how we are in the general arena with the public, how we drive on the road, how we deal with everything, right? Keeping control of your anger, for example, is part of reflection of Islam. Not just, you know, getting angry and saying all kinds of stuff. No, keeping control of that anger is part of the reflection of Islam. Focus on learning and teaching is part of reflection on Islam. Focus on practicing what we learn is part of the focus on Islam. Concern for other people, concern for those we know and concern for those we don't know. For example, I think, I don't know if anybody does it, but how many of us will go to a hospital and inquire after the welfare of a couple of people in that hospital on a regular basis? I'm not talking about people we know. Someone obviously then we will go if somebody we know. I'm talking about strangers. Go to a general hospital. Go to a general hospital. There are so many poor people there. There are people who can pay their bills, people who can't pay their bills. Maybe the bill itself need not be paid because they are under some, you know, they come under some scheme of the government and maybe the government is paying for their medical treatment. But they need food, they need some fruits, maybe they need some, you know, is any one of us doing that? Do we go to a hospital and inquire after the welfare of those people. Now, imagine what would be the effect of that. These are the kinds of things that really win the hearts of people. What would be the effects of Muslims going into a hospital and inquiring after and inquiring about the welfare and doing something, not just saying, how are you, salaam alaikum. No, I'm saying doing something. Maybe give them some money, maybe give them some food, right? Poor people who are in general hospitals, going and doing that, maybe make dua for them. They say, well, I will make dua for you. Doesn't matter, let him be a Hindu, whoever. Dua is dua. I mean, make dua for the shifa of those people, and I can guarantee you that not a single one of them will say, don't make dua for me. This is not going to happen. I mean, people will be very happy. Oh, you came to make dua for me. Alhamdulillah. Imagine the effect of that on those people. Random acts of goodness. We hear these stories. We hear Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked in the morning after Salatul Fajr, that was his sunnah, to sit like this after Salatul Fajr, and he would talk to people and he would ask questions. And one day he said, is there anyone who has given charity before he came here? And one person raised his hand. He said, is there somebody who followed a janaza before he came at this time? And the same person raised his hand. He said, is there anyone who inquired after a sick person, the iadat of a sick person? And the same person raised his hand. And that person was Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, before Salatul Fajr. Now you can say, well, you know, nobody died, so what can I do? I can't go. Okay, fine, so you didn't go to a janaza, but you could have done you know, some other things, wallah alam. Maybe one problem with us is we live also in places where if you want to give charity before Salatul Fajr, maybe you can't find anybody because of, you know, where you live. Alhamdulillah, Allah has kept us in a place where we are isolated and insulated from the poverty and so on, which is all around us. But nothing prevents us to do this after Fajr, you know, between Fajr and next Fajr. So, if you say do it, when you say did you do it before you came here, one interpretation can be that it's not necessary that it had to be done between last Isha and this Fajr. Maybe what it means is in yesterday, right, before you came to this Salatul Fajr, could mean, wallah alam, during yesterday, between last Fajr and this Fajr, right. Now, if you take that interpretation, then definitely almost all those things are possible for us, right? So, point is that consciousness of living Islam in such a way that people see the reflection of the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in our lives. I think this is something that we should practice, and this is a message that we should carry forward, because that is what wins hearts and that is what wins people to Islam, and that is what makes people feel good about Islam. You know, that is a very, very important thing that we think about and we do. How we do our work. How we do our work. I mean, yesterday one of a very dear friend of mine passed away. He is actually the friend of the father of a very good friend of mine. And I have known him. I mean, I know that friend and his father. I have known them for 40 plus years. When I went yesterday to visit them, his son was telling me, he said the doctor who was administering to my father, he was a Hindu guy, and he said he was a thin young guy, he was thin, scrawny, he looked like a dried prawn, but he said the way he worked, he was pumping my father's chest, trying to revive him. He said almost 45-50 minutes that man, he said I don't know how he had the strength to do that. His arms were paining, all kinds of things, but he didn't leave. And finally he, you know, when he said my father passed away, he apologized. He said, I'm sorry sir, we could not save him. Now, his father was now almost 90 years old, you know, and wallah alam. And so, my friend told me that if even without doing all this, if he had said, I'm sorry sir, we couldn't do it, we would have accepted wallah alam, the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we expect. But he said, the way the man did his job, he said, that is what really, you know, we felt so good, that how much of dedication this man has in terms of how he is doing his job. Hindu guy. Now, point is that, you know, it's the religion, whatever religion, the point is that it is our akhlaq, whether we are a Muslim or we are Hindu or anything, it's our akhlaq, it is our manners, it is how we deal with people. This is what the world can see. The world does not see the aqidah in your heart and my heart. Whatever we believe, we believe. You know, this is between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The world doesn't see that. The world sees our actions. The world sees our speech. And that is what I want to remind myself that I should be conscious about. And I request you also remind yourself, be conscious about this, that what is the reflection of Islam in our lives. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring the best reflection of Islam in our lives and to make our lives a reflection of the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya rahman rahim.